everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Design Review. My name is Chris, and with me is Jonathan.
Hello, everyone. We have just some really great news, but first, let's read some Fanimal email before we tell you this really, really great news, because it's all going to make sense.
Yeah. So thanks for sending us Fanimal's messages. If you also want to send us Fanimal's messages, you can do that by writing us an email at fanimals@designreviewpodcast.com. So we got a couple messages today. The first one, I don't know if I'm pronouncing their name correctly, but it comes from a listener named Salman. And he writes, well, I don't know if it's a he or a she, but they write...
Or a fish.
I wasn't going to say that, but okay. But they write, please put your podcast on iTunes.
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Literally every single one of the podcasts I listen to is on iTunes, except this one.
Very true. That he has a point. It's very true.
Yeah. And then he goes on, I don't want to get the SoundCloud app just for you guys.
Aww.
Come on.
Not just for us.
I mean,
I wouldn't. Let's be honest. I wouldn't download SoundCloud to listen to our podcast. So,
yeah. The next one, actually, I don't even know what they don't have a first name. They just put in their Gmail handle, so I won't read that out. But they write, "Hello, I can't find your podcast in Downcast, nor can I find a RSS feed to add it manually. Any tips?"
Touching. So one of the reasons why we decided to read some of that fan mail and all the comments that we've had up until now, people have tweeted at us, people have left comments, and trust me, we hear you guys. And we have some super exciting announcement to happen. First, thank you all so much for your patience, as this has taken us pretty much 11 weeks at this point.
Yeah.
To get an RSS feed that works with iTunes. We've had an RSS feed, but for some reason it was weird and it didn't work.
Yeah.
But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, we have an RSS feed that works with iTunes, and it also has been accepted into iTunes.
Yay! Woo! Woo! So go ahead and get on there. Please rate us. Please review us.
Yeah, that actually helps us a lot. I mean, that's going to help us to reach more people. So please, if you can, go in there and give us however many stars you think we deserve, but please give us a review.
Yep. And if you still have issues with finding us on iTunes, I guess you could still write us emails about that.
Yeah, we're used to it. So to all those people, to the Fanimals last week, to everybody, we're sorry, but it's there now.
Yes.
And it only took some literally writing it by hand and fixing it by hand to work. So we got it working, though. That's what counts.
Did you actually handwrite it?
Yes, I typed with my fingers on the keyboard.
I thought maybe you wrote it on a piece of paper and like mailed it.
Mailed it in iTunes. Dear sir and gentlemen, hello is the XML of... And if for some reason you would like to just directly access the RSS feed for another app that's maybe not directly connected to iTunes, just designreviewpodcast.com/design-review.rss. And you can find the RSS feed there.
Okay, that's awesome. So we mentioned the Fanimals email. Again, that's fanimals@designreviewpodcast.com. But you can also get in touch with us on Twitter. My handle is MachineHuman, and Jonathan is DesignUXUI. We're usually on there throughout the day, so don't be afraid to tweet at us about stuff.
Yeah, we'll mute you. We won't block you. And also, if you want to get in contact with us privately, you can go to the contact page on our website.
Yes.
All right, so last but not least is a little bit of fundraising type stuff.
Yeah. What are we going to fundraise?
So what we're going to do is we kind of talked about this last week, is we are putting together a t-shirt design. And you'll see kind of our V1s in the episode screenshots today. But we have decided to go with.
T-shirt underscore copy underscore copy underscore final underscore V2.5.
So we've all experienced that. We've all been there, whether we liked it or not. And we've also have gotten files with that, and then we knew it was inside. So yeah, we're gonna make that into a cool t-shirt, and so be looking for that in the next couple of days. You can buy one for Christmas, you can buy one for your friend, for a birthday, for unbirthdays, for all kinds of occasions. So,
Or just buy one.
or just buy one because you have lots of money. So today we are going to be reviewing Sketch, and this is one that Chris and I have really been looking forward to for a long time because Sketch is something that's everybody's been talking about. It's huge in the design community, and it seems to really be the future. A lot of designers have been switching over to it. I personally haven't, and so this was a really fun opportunity to dive headfirst in and see what it was all about. And so we're going to review it. So Chris, what was your initial expectations and experience with Sketch?
Yeah, so someone on Twitter mentioned it to me a while ago, long time ago, actually. And this was back when it was, I think it was like $40 back then. And I'm kicking myself because I should have bought it at that time as opposed to now.
Yep.
But they had mentioned to me it was sort of like a replacement Photoshop type of thing that has like better vector tools. And I looked at it on the website and it looked interesting and obviously the $40 price point was kind of nice compared to Photoshop, but I just didn't really pursue it further because I had both Photoshop and Illustrator and it was sort of like that's what I was used to and it met all my needs. But one other thing that they mentioned that I thought was really cool was they had used it to set up a bunch of templates for different projects, so that they could basically do all the production work for the projects really, really quickly. And that's great, right? Because like for me, when I try and approach projects, I think of them in sort of two phases. The first one being more concept driven, the other more production driven. And anything you can do to help expedite the production of something is really good.
Yeah, and I would even add to that, like the tools that you use, the shortcuts, the automation, even just the flow of using those tools, I think really makes a big difference. That's why people go nuts over a plugin for
Yeah.
Photoshop or something like that, because anything that can help your workflow even just a little bit, it allows you to be more fluid with that creativity part or the or do more quicker in the automation part or the production part. All of that really helps with the whole process as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. But other than that, I mean that was my expectation. I was thinking of it as like some kind of replacement Photoshop tool, but didn't really know that much about it.
Yeah. So I played with it a long, long time ago. I think it's been a year. And yeah, I looked at it, I had downloaded it, I played around with it. I think there was like a trial at the time or something like that. And I didn't have enough time to to learn it and look at it. So when I came at it this time, I honestly had forgotten like everything about it.
Yeah.
And so it was very much like coming in perfectly new.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then so my understanding, I've seen a lot of stuff. Obviously, it's really popular in the design community. People talk about it all the time. And so I've been kind of keeping up with some of the updates that it has and things like that. So that's kind of what I'm carrying in my brain at this point.
Yeah. So what about onboarding?
So this was really interesting. This is a different type of tool than I think even Webflow or any of the other tools. I think maybe Webflow is the only one that we could pretty much compare that we've done so far that's similar to this.
Yeah.
In the fact that it's so complex. So how do you onboard somebody to like a tool, like a professional tool?
Yeah.
And I think they did a decent job. Like when I first downloaded it and I popped it open, it had a welcome modal with a video and resources and a bunch of stuff. I think the only thing I would have changed about the onboarding experience is to just go ahead and load the default pro. They have like a welcome project.
Yeah.
And I would have just gone ahead and instead of a blank slate, I would have maybe started with that. But I mean, I'm sure they know probably a little bit more. And I think what they did seemed fine to me. Like, so I clicked on the video and thinking like, okay, it's going to introduce me to like all the features and how interesting it was. It was really just like a very short marketing video,
Oh.
and I learned nothing.
Oh.
But on the good side, The links that they provide were all good resources to learn and understand what the tools and the menus better. So what about you? Is that pretty much the same thing?
Yeah, so I looked at the website first, of course. And if you don't know by now, they're known for the little whatever, that little jewel thing. It's so iconic now, right?
Yeah, the jewel, yeah.
The website's very nice. It talks about what Sketch can do for you. When I got into the product, same thing. They popped up this little modal window. This is actually, let's see, screen number one. So it pops up this little blue modal pop-up thing. And my natural reaction to a lot of these types of things is just to click through it because I don't, want to look at these things. And it's funny because you
Yeah.
mentioned watching the video. I just now realized that there's a video there.
I have something to share.
What?
I also did not initially do that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it was a reaction and I closed it and I was like, "Wait, I need that
Yeah,
stuff."
I just clicked it close. Yeah.
I went to help and like reopened it. There was like a link to it in help
Oh,
and
really?
reopened it and then, played the video and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, that is funny. Like that's true. Like my first reaction was like, get out of my face.
Yeah,
Like
exactly.
let
Like,
me see what's going on. Like let me see the interface.
yeah, it's like I didn't even read it. It's just like, get out of here.
Okay, so actually, well, let me know if this was your same reaction. Once I got to the interface, I felt just completely lost.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's.
Like just no idea where anything or what anything was.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's necessarily a shortcoming of Sketch, but just the fact that, I mean, I think it's been like a decade. Yeah, I think I've been in Photoshop for more than a decade at this point.
Yeah.
So just there's so much muscle memory and so much, so much that I'm used to that, I mean, it was really jarring.
Yeah. It's definitely not set up the way Photoshop is set up at all. And
No.
my initial experience, like I said, was to just get this modal pop-up thing out of the way and then go right into the interface. And so the next screen basically was what we have here for screen number two. So you can see it's just a blank canvas and a like it's you're now in the product. And so yeah, like where do you even start with this thing? It was the same exact experience I had with Webflow, where I just didn't know what to do, where to even begin. I didn't actually know you could get that pop-up back. So what I ended up having to do was basically quit out of Sketch and then restart it so I could see that pop-up again. And then that's when I saw like, oh, there's like a whatever intro document. And so I opened that up, and let's see, this is now screen number four. So what they've done for you, which is actually really nice, is they've prepared a file in Sketch that explains how Sketch works, and it just sort of like it's a bit of information about how to basically use the interface. And once I read through that, then I was like, oh, it actually kind of makes sense. But if you did like what I did and just go right into the product, you're not going to be able to just get it, I think. And
Yeah, I mean,
it's the same reason that like I've been using Photoshop forever, and it's like I'm so used to the way that works that like it's so foreign.
yeah. I think with Webflow and with Sketch, if I had to design it right now, I really think that either one of two things. One is making the default thing come to this, not a blank page.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Webflow, just coming into a project that's already finished really helps you figure stuff out. I mean, like in the beginning, when I first started designing, one of the biggest, leaps that I would take in learning was going to Dribbble and downloading somebody's PSD and
Yeah.
then, seeing how they constructed something, especially when like back in the skeuomorphic days when people would just put like a ton of work together in like a single layer. I think coming into a finished project really helps people understand and they can kind of move stuff around and turn stuff on and off and understand the relations.
Yeah.
The second thing I would do is the beginning of that is I would show a video of somebody creating something from start to finish. Like I would much rather have sat down behind somebody who uses Sketch all the time and see them build something, and I would have learned a ton more.
Yeah.
So I think if having those two resources right off the bat would really prove to onboard users much better, and that's my assumption.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think the intro file that they have is nice, but one thought that I had about that was to actually make it kind of more action oriented. You know, just like what we talk about a lot on the show is that, you know, you want people to be able to play with the product. So the intro file is already talking about the interface. You know, why not give some instructions there and like let people go play around with it?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Like the first thing I did with this is, try and look at one of the masks and see how understand how it works, because it's different. It's not like Photoshop where you have a folder and a mask, or you have a mask shape or anything like that. So it would have been nice, yeah, if they had a little bit of text and they said introducing mask, and then, why don't you go do this? Man, yeah, that would be another really good interactive way of teaching people how to use it. And I really think they should start. I mean, if I was them, I really would own the fact that a lot of people are coming from Photoshop. And I don't know if, there's probably some really good design decisions around some of the interface elements and keys and the shortcuts and stuff that they've done. But I really feel like a lot of it should have been similar to perhaps Photoshop, or at least in the onboarding, if not that, if there's some design decisions that are more long term in the background that I don't know, then I think at least on the onboarding, they should have addressed, like, okay, here's onboarding for Photoshop users. Here's how to here's how to orient yourself. Because I mean, that's the truth. There's, probably 90% of the people downloading Sketch are going to be longtime Photoshop users.
Yeah, so that was my next point, was they have to assume that people are coming from Adobe software. And I think even just like, it doesn't even have to be like in depth about how the tool works, but just how the interface is structured.
Yeah, like what's this is the how the flow works.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you were to sit down Sketch next to Photoshop and do a side-by-side comparison, there it's like night and day. They're not at all alike, in the way that they function. Actually, why don't we talk about that? So, how was it to use? So I created a little file, just to get familiar with how things worked, and I created something for the little t-shirt fundraising thing that we're doing. One of the major ways that Sketch is different from Photoshop is in Photoshop, you're all familiar with the toolbar thing that is on the left side. In Sketch, you have to add shapes to the stage. So you insert, you know, a vector rectangle. But then in order to like edit it or rotate it or something like that, there's no tool for that. It's actually you're changing modes in the program. So on screen 5, you would go up to the top bar there and select rotate, and then you could rotate the shape. Now this is like totally different, right? Because in Illustrator, for example, I'm so used to just pressing R on the keyboard for the rotate tool and then just rotating something. Or even not even doing that, you can just drag the bounding box around it, right?
Yeah, you can even just get close to the corner and it turns into a, it turns into one. You don't even have to press anything or do anything special.
Right. And so here, if you were to do that, like press R, I think it actually it changes it to like one of the different vector shapes. So you create like a circle or something, right? And then if you were to try and mess with the bounding box that's visible there, you're just changing the scale of the object. And so you actually have to select rotate, I think, to rotate it. Or of course you could always go to the panels on the right side and just change the rotation number.
Yeah, I think that's where Sketch shines the best, is that panel is, just super useful, being able to quickly add a bunch of fills and borders and shadows and things like that. And also, I think with the layout, there's a lot of layout oriented features in Sketch that I think were really good, especially user experience wise. Like when you're dragging something, it's constantly reminding you of how it aligns with other things. Everything's, snapping to pixels. You can, average to the nearest even pixel. It's like there's a lot of stuff to make it look really crisp and to keep it on a grid. And like in slide and in image 8, there's like a tool for how you want to orient stuff again, like with layouts and stuff like that. So there's a lot of really cool stuff like that. I think where it needs the most improvement is in the in like what you were saying, some of just the basic tools and switching between tools and really making it more fluid. And this, I think also maybe the design of it is that they really want you to be using more shortcuts, because not having those tools out in the open, really forces you to have to know and memorize, start memorizing all the things. Like I quickly was using T and R to make text and rectangles and stuff like that. So,
Yeah.
but you kind of have to just explore that and know that. Like, when you're clicking the plus, it tells you. I mean, it looks really nice, but I'm sure there's a ton more that you'll just have to go learn and things like that. And the layers and stuff like that, I also felt they were very, it wasn't very, it didn't feel very fluid.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my biggest things that I ran into that was like a really big showstopper for me was groupings. And I'm sure there's going to be a ton of stuff we're going to talk about that we didn't like in this, that people are going to be like, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. You have to go do this. So we apologize beforehand for any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But from my experience, like the you put a folder together, you put stuff under it, and then when you move them, they all move together. And there's no way to that I could find to just move one at a time unless you go select the layer in the layer section, and then you can move it. And also things like that, like duplication was another thing that I kind of hit a wall with. Like let's say you made a button, you want to duplicate it over and over. The layers have to be selected for you to do the grouping. Because if you just, like select the text, like if you select the text and do the duplication in one go, it's gonna just duplicate the layer you were on, even if it wasn't the text layer. Like I kept duplicating my image background. So what I had to do is I had to go back, select the text, and then do the duplication. And so there's just, I think, little things like that that kind of slow down your pace a little bit. And that may be because I'm a beginner and there's probably some other ways of doing it or something like that. But that's just something that I realized, if that's a design gap that would need fixed.
Well, I had a very similar experience. You're talking about duplication. I wanted to apply the same drop shadow to one of the elements, and I could not find a way to do it. There probably is a way, but I could not find a way to do it. So I had to manually, set the style on each element. In Photoshop, you right click and go copy layer style and then paste layer style on the next element, right? And so, like there's those kinds of things that, as a beginner, it's very difficult to understand how to work with some of the parts of the
What
application.
are some things that you saw that you were super excited about as a interface designer? Because I'm really feeling, I think that's where this shines is like this seems very focused on UI design and specifically even, I think mobile design because like everything seems to be especially in the beginning, the way it's set up, everything seems to be focused around like iPhone development or like Android development, where you're working on a screen with pixels and you have to do a lot of slicing and stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff built in for slicing and stuff like that that's very much in the forefront.
The other thing that I thought was just amazing was the ability to export specific layers. So on the same screen, number three, if you select an object and down in the bottom right, you can say export that rectangle and it just exports it. You can also select, multi-select a bunch of things and hit export and it'll just export all those things as individual, PNGs or whatever you've set up there. And so the whole process of I don't know, how many times have you had to manually either export the individual assets yourself or you save it as an action droplet and run it automate it or whatever? Like here you can just select all the things, press a button, and it's all exported.
Yeah, I mean it's things like that that really make a big difference in your workflow. Yeah, another really nice detail, especially interface wise, was like if you bring up the rulers, I think bringing in like guides and stuff is really easy. And then also if you click and drag, it just seems really easy. You can change where zero is just by clicking and dragging the ruler. So I feel like that always happens to me. Where like I want to see where zero is because like I don't want to be looking at the header area or something like that. So that was really nice, and also it just felt very intuitive. Like I didn't even know that it could do that, and I just kind of tried it, and it worked, and it was like kind of made me smile. It was one of those good moments. Yeah, another really nice feature of Sketch has been the Sketch Mirror. So what you can do is as you're working on the design, you can buy Sketch Mirror on your iPhone and use that to instantly see what you're doing on the design on your iPhone. So it's connected, it's fully integrated, and so it's nice to have It's just nice to have a tool where everything's super focused on UI design, where in Photoshop, there's a lot of cruft for it's funny, cruft. Really, UI design is the cruft in Photoshop, you know, and there's all this other stuff around, you know, editing photos and 3D and animation and video editing, which is apparently in Photoshop. So it's really nice and refreshing to be in an app that's 100% like everything in this app is 100% focused on what I do. And what I make, so that excites me too. And so, like, when I'm going over a menu, for instance, all of them make sense to me, and all of them are things I would use. And I see Kern here, and that makes me happy, and you know, stuff like that.
So what about the presentation of it? I mean, we've been talking a little bit about it, but how
You
did
mean
it,
aesthetics wise?
yeah, like how, aesthetically and
Yeah, I feel like the interface really does fade into the background while you're working. But I think there's a couple things that I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know. I think with that drop down, I really don't like the drop down with the, you know, the vector, the pencil, the shape, the text, all those tools are hidden away in a drop down. And I really don't like that. I really wish, and I also really wish that the selection that they have, because you can actually edit the buttons you have, I guess you could call them the little icons and buttons that you have on the top of your sketch. So you can go into, I think it's View and Customize Toolbar, and you can customize, you know, what you want on there, what you don't. That being said, I really wish the default ones were a much better group. You know, things like text are very common, things like shapes are very common, yet they're not really here. And I think that's because I maybe late layer later they know that you're just going to be using T and R to do those types of things. But I don't know. That was my initial experience with it anyway. I just feel like there could be better ones. Like moving a layer up and down isn't, you know, that's not really something I need in that top nav area. And even like these merging shapes ones, I don't do that often where I need those at the top. And if so, like they could easily be in a drop down or something like that. So I still think there's a lot of stuff in the UI that could be a little bit more smoother, you know, like the experience.
I mean, I didn't even know you could customize it. That's pretty cool.
I think that's one of the first things I always do is I look at the top area and see what each, you know, little drop down has. Okay, one thing actually, I know this is sort of breaking out from the usual structure here, but just kind of to step way back and talk about just overall, you know, what sketch it means to design. Having reviewed Webflow a couple of weeks ago, this kind of feels it really changed my perception, I think.
What do you mean?
Because this like because like when I was using Sketch, for example, and I clicked on something, and you know, you have that right-hand side, it really felt a lot, it reminded me of Sketch a little bit. I mean of Webflow a little bit. And my first thought was, okay, why aren't I just why isn't this just building? Like, why can't this be it? Like, why can't this be the real thing that goes on the phone and then I, you know, or like that can go on the phone and connect, which I guess it kind of is. But I think that's what I liked about Webflow was like that was it. It was a web page at that point. And I really would love to have like, you know, maybe Sketch could move towards this where, you know, there like maybe some very basic stuff that I could do in Sketch that would become an app. And then maybe exporting to Xcode and being able to do more with it or something like that, like Webflow kind of does with HTML and CSS. I think that's what all these types of tools really need to go towards.
I sort of felt this a similar thing because, like, for example, the insert button is the same little plus button that Webflow has, and it's sort of structured the same way. I wonder if they actually took some inspiration from
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I think he does.
But some other things to mention that I thought, I don't know how significant they are, but it's not like the dark UI that Adobe has, right? Like, for a long time, Adobe had an interface that was more like this with the light gray, and then at some point they switched to dark. But this to me feels like simpler and cleaner. I don't know what it is, but one thing it doesn't have is the toolbar that we mentioned, and all the palettes and stuff that kind of pop out Like everything that you want to use or everything that you need to use, with the exception of, the hidden drop down in on the insert menu, everything else is kind of within view already. I think it's designed smartly in that, when you select an object, only the most relevant properties and stuff are sort of shown.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of that. Like there's a lot of like, just in time UI kind of things that like if you're clicking on like I don't say a piece and something else pops up, or you're hovering over something, like something will go away. For example, like I noticed like when you've added a shadow, the remove thing kind of goes away and then it comes back. And there's like all these types of things where like, or for example, the visibility on and off on the layers, like you don't even notice it's there until you scroll over it and it shows itself. So I feel like there's a lot of that woven into Sketch.
Yeah, and I think it contributes to it feeling like a lot simpler and a lot easier, because with Photoshop, it's a lot of like just little micro decisions that you have to make in order to style something the way that you want it styled, whereas in Sketch, it's just kind of there in the properties.
Yeah, and again, it's nice having everything so oriented on UI design, because and that's why Sketch can do so much more if it's UI, is because that's all it does.
Something else that actually maybe is more onboarding type stuff, but every single time that I've opened a brand new fresh install of Photoshop, I don't, maybe it's the way I do it, but I have to go through and configure it, and it's such a huge pain in the butt to go in and like do all that configuration before I can even like use it effectively, right? Whereas here it you don't really have to mess
Yeah,
with
that's
it.
true. It's sort of already ready to go for UI design. Yeah, that's great. All right, so I guess that's it. Did it match up with your expectations? And I think for me, I definitely want to give it a lot more time.
It's a hard product to talk about just because it sort of needs more time. You sort of need to use it a lot longer than I think we have time, to talk about it on the show. It sort of aligned with my expectations in that it was a much simpler kind of Photoshop type of tool. I think it has a lot of useful features now. I don't remember all the things that it had before, but I feel like it's got a ton of stuff that's really, really useful, like right now. And it's got just about the right mix of stuff too. Like not too many things that you don't need, basically.
Another really cool thing about Sketch to kind of finish this is the community, I think, is amazing. There's a lot of people out there making custom plugins for it, tutorials, and everyone's really helpful. So that's another, I think, another really big draw to this. But yeah, I think for me, it's definitely something I'm going to keep around, especially because I paid $100 for it. But I mean, it's just something that I feel like I want to switch over to eventually, and like get a lot more involved with get a lot of my projects into Sketch first. And I have a couple of projects coming up where I might be able to do that. So I'm excited to get a little bit more deeper into it. And maybe we can come back to this at another episode and review it once we've had, a lot more time with it.
I'm the same. I'm going to keep it. Of course, I paid for it now, so I can't actually, get rid of it. Well, I guess I could uninstall it, but yeah, the same thing. I need to spend more time with it, learning how to use it better, become more familiar with it. So I just need to get used to it again, and it'll probably wreck me for Illustrator if I ever have to go back to it. But
It's like trying to learn a new language or something. It's
yeah.
kind of hard, but I think once you do, it's probably going to be a lot easier
Yeah.
to switch between the apps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you guys. We hope you've enjoyed this very brief coverage of Sketch, but definitely if you're going to do a lot of designs, especially for mobile, like this is great for mobile design, especially with the mirroring app and the UI is completely built for it. I would definitely recommend it, and it seems like the industry is going that way. Like,
Yeah.
kind of to be a little bit frank, like it seems like we almost need to be, to go to the next job and say, okay, I know Sketch is gonna. It seems like it's a thing. I mean, like a lot of these companies already, their whole teams have switched to Sketch. So
Yeah.
that's actually kind of in the back of my brain when I downloaded this is, I'm so comfortable in Photoshop, but I know that like even though there's kind of gonna be like a low period where I'm not as good and I'm probably a little less efficient, that overall it's going to be better in the future.
Yeah. Or if you're just like me, where I'm so tired of using Adobe products.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I hate Photoshop. There's a lot of.
I mean, it is. It's also more expensive. I mean, you have to pay that CC subscription all the
Yep.
time, and I only use like two of them,
Yeah,
so.
but like the interface is so difficult now because there's so many features in it, and
Yeah.
Sketch is a really, really good alternative because it's so much simpler and it's directly, like you said, it's directly the stuff that UI designers need.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right, so thanks again for subscribing to our podcast on iTunes. But yeah, please go check it out and give us a review. You can now, point your podcasting tool towards that, and we're going to be posting that obviously on the post itself for this episode. And yeah, please check it out. We are stoked.
Yes. All right, guys. See you next week.
All right, see you next week, everybody.